Very good morning to all of you, and to wish to all our Chinese friends, let me get this right. 新年快乐,万事如意. I was taught that I need to add the 主意, because 主 is our God, and you need, may your wishes be fulfilled in God's, according to God's will. Yeah. So I just came back from Jakarta, where I had my Chinese New Year reunion in Indonesia. As we usually celebrate Chinese New Year in Singapore. That is a picture of my parents and my sister's eldest sister's family. I left Indonesia when I was 6 years old, and I took for granted that I can celebrate Chinese New Year so openly in Singapore. In the past, the Chinese community in my birth country of Indonesia was not allowed to celebrate our Chinese culture because of political reasons and the threat of communist China. Under former President Sukarno and Suharto, we had to have Indonesian names instead of Chinese ones on our identity cards, which is why most people wonder if I was Italian or Filipino. My name is Hambali Leonardi. Actually, my Chinese name is Liao. My mother doesn't like that word because it's Liao, means Finnish. Yeah, Liao. So she prefers the Indonesian version, which is Leonardi. So a lot of people make jokes of, oh, Leonardo, Leo, and so on. Yeah. So, and in Indonesia, Chinese New Year only became a public holiday in 2002 under President Wahid. Chinese made up only 1% of the Indonesian population, and they are often discriminated and persecuted in times of socio-political troubles. In the past, my parents and my late grandparents would warn me to repress my Chinese culture when I visited Indonesia. I was advised to not to be so conspicuous and blend in with the majority culture. As such, I was wary and cautious when I interacted with people in Indonesia. My recent visit to Jakarta was a pleasant surprise, as the shopping malls were decked in Chinese New Year decoration with Chinese music, with, you know, those annoying music, blaring from the sound system. People would also wish me Chinese New Year greetings. It was such a huge change from the days of old. Instead of fear, mistrust, and discrimination, there was a sense of togetherness and tolerance. As we read the passage of Jesus and the Samaritan woman, I can imagine how it must have felt for two people from opposing cultures coming together. We have Jesus, who was a Jewish man, interacting with a Samaritan woman whose race was despised by the Jews. It was even more uncomfortable, since unrelated men and women rarely associated with each other at that time. It was an awkward and yet a very powerful encounter that I'm so glad the Apostle John recorded it for us. The title of today's sermon is "The Living Water That Truly Satisfies." Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can come together to worship you, to hear your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. And we hold on to your ever promise that your word will never return to us empty. Help us not to be just listeners or hearers of your word, but help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As God's disciples today, what spiritual treasures can we learn from this exchange between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, especially as we prepare ourselves for celebration of hope? What can we learn about evangelism and glean for our spiritual formation and kingdom building? I would like to highlight three lessons for us. The first is, take a risky divine detour. Jesus was a non-conformist and chose to do things that goes against established religious norms. This also applied to his travels when he took the direct route north from Jerusalem to Galilee through Samaria. This was in contrast to most Jews who took the longer indirect route east of the River Jordan through Perea because of their prejudice against the Samaritans. The Samaritans, who were the Samaritans? They were descendants of the Israelites of the northern kingdom. They had intermarried with foreign settlers after the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel in 700 BC. As a result of this racial intermarriage, they were no longer considered to be purely Jewish and were hated by most Jews. The Samaritans continued to worship as the Jews did, but took only the first five books of the Old Testament as their spiritual authority. They built a rival temple on Mount Gerizim, which they believed to be the site of the altar where Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as sacrifice. So instead of going through the usual route to Galilee, Jesus took a risky divine detour to Samaria, and he had a divine appointment with the Samaritan woman. Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, experienced the physical burdens of an earthly body after a long journey. He was exhausted and thirsty and asked for water from the Samaritan woman. Let me read that verse again. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about 6 hour or noontime. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink. Give me a drink." By tradition, a rabbi would not speak with a woman in public, even his own wife. It was also very unusual for a Jewish person of that time to ask a favor or accept a drink from a Samaritan cup. Jesus' request genuinely surprised the woman that she said, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" Jesus' request for water was profound and thoughtful. It overcame several cultural and social barriers. As we prepare ourselves for the year of hope and proclamation at St. Andrew's Cathedral, we need to ask ourselves, how can we take risky detours and overcome our own prejudices in personal evangelism? We are very blessed to live in Singapore, where we enjoy multiculturalism and harmony with people from different ethnic and social backgrounds. However, I think we still harbor prejudices and fears towards some people group. Who are the Samaritans in our communities? Do we take a longer journey to avoid them? Perhaps we can start taking risky detours like Jesus and be used by God. Jesus broke the ice with the Samaritan woman by asking, "Give me a drink." The woman was impressed by the friendliness of Jesus. This was probably the first time she had ever heard a kind greeting from a Jewish man. How can we break the ice with the people who we are trying to reach and share God's love? In our time, perhaps we can ask our colleagues or schoolmates, "I'm hungry, let's go for lunch." Or, "I need a break, let's go for kopi." Such gestures can start a very interesting conversation and divine appointment like Jesus and the Samaritan woman. "Give me a drink." As Christians, we often think we must approach evangelism from a position of strength and superiority. We can learn from Jesus to approach our friends and colleagues, relatives, from a position of need and humility. People let their guards down and are able to relate to us when we sincerely share our vulnerability and brokenness. Jesus, "Give me a drink," could be as simple as, "I need help with my computer or my handphone. Can you recommend a nice place for Valentine's Day? I notice you have nice hair. What shampoo do you use?" Of course, please do not pretend that you need help. Be genuine and pray for divine appointments and give a drink moments? What risky detours and give me a drink opportunities can you take for God after you leave this Sunday service? The second lesson is to take it to the next heavenly level. Jesus' reply to the Samaritan woman was highly insightful and perceptive. He discerned the woman's spiritual emptiness and uncovered her greatest thirst. In John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman tried to engage Jesus in a theological and historical discussion, but he was not easily distracted. He redirected it back to his fundamental message that he was the spring of the living water. Let me read this account again. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus drew the woman to the next level of spiritual awareness. Her life that day was going to be dramatically changed forever. What do we know of this woman? We know that she was getting water at the hottest time of the day because of her shameful past. She wore a scarlet letter on her forehead since she had been married 5 times and was now living with a man who was not her husband. In order to avoid the cruel gossips of other women, she chose to come to the well in the heat of the day, rather in the morning, where others would get their waters. She was a lost and broken woman who filled the emptiness of life with unwholesome relationships and romance. Her daily routine of drawing water from the well was divinely disrupted by Jesus. She was going to draw water from the earthly ground, but Jesus was now offering living water from a heavenly source to fill her spiritual thirst. What was this living water? In another account in the Gospel of John, Jesus referred to the living water as the Holy Spirit. Let me read that account from John chapter 7, verse 37. "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus shared 3 qualities of this living water. The first one, the living water comes only from Jesus. He is the source. He's the wellspring and the provider of this living water. Jesus was sent, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit to reside in us. Only Jesus can give this living water. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to those who believe in him. And number 2, the Holy Spirit quenches the most barren and parched spiritual thirst that humanity is seeking. People have tried to fill this thirst with earthly ambitions, lusty pursuits, and pious activities. But only being born again by the Spirit can we truly satisfy our souls. The Holy Spirit fills our souls with God's love, peace, and joy. And thirdly, it will transform the person from within. The Holy Spirit will transform us from within. The dehydrated recesses of our souls will be flooded with the freshness of eternal life. The person is no longer dead, spiritually. He's renewed by the Holy Spirit, who will recite, teach, and guide us. Jesus elevated the conversation and interaction with the Samaritan woman to the next heavenly level. It was a life-changing invitation that filled and quenched her spiritual void and thirst. My challenge for us, for all of us, is to take our friendships and social interaction to the next heavenly level, like Jesus. Are we audacious in inviting our friends and loved ones to discover the source of this living water? Can our conversation go deeper and touch on the spiritual realm? The 9 a.m. service is celebrating its 30th anniversary. Understand the theme is moving in step with God. What a wonderful theme. It's a good reminder for us. We need to walk in tandem with God. In this year of harvest, God is encouraging us to take it to the next level. Let us take a bold step of faith and walk with Him. Are we bold enough to invite friends to Alpha Church, our connect groups, or celebration of hope? It is time to take our relationship with our friends to the next heavenly level. Recently, I had a meeting with my financial advisor, and it was him who shared that he recently tattooed his eyebrow. He's a male financial advisor, but he tattooed his eyebrow on the advice of his fortune teller. And I took that conversation to the next level, and I decided to talk about Jesus, because I shared I do not subscribe to those beliefs. I believe in that my life and my destiny is determined by my Creator God. And so that conversation took on a different level. So instead of talking about money, we talk about spiritual stuff. And of course, we went back to the money part. But you know, friends, let's take our friendships and relationship to the next heavenly level. There's a very good tool by Campus Crusade called God Tools, which you can install on your phone. I think I shared this with we shared this at the Bea and Andrew course recently. But I just want to encourage you to install this on your phone. Look for the 4 tool, which is so you go to the My Tools and then you look for the 4 tool. It's a very useful and simple evangelistic tool. It helps you to share the Christian message with your friend using 4 simple symbols. I hope you will get a chance to use it. Have it ready and available, because God is going to surprise each one of you. He's going to use you to bring your friendships to the next heavenly level. I've personally used it on 3 individuals. I pray that I can share more with, I can share this with more people. You may be the very person to invite someone to drink the living water from Jesus. This is my last lesson. The last lesson is to take it to the end of the earth. The exchange between Jesus and the Samaritan woman culminated when he revealed his true identity, that he is the Christ, the Messiah. Let me share this exchange from John chapter 4, verse 25. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. This Samaritan woman believed in Jesus and accepted the invitation to receive the living water that truly satisfies. She was wonderfully and incredibly transformed. She left her water jar and told the town people about Jesus. She didn't care about what people thought of her. She proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ with reckless abandon to the very people who mocked her shameful life and reputation. She was a totally transformed woman. She became the first Christian woman evangelist in the history of the church. In verse 39, we read that many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Friends, who was this Samaritan woman? According to some church tradition, her name was Photina, which means light in Greek. A pretty nice name if you are thinking of naming your daughter. Deeply moved and transformed by the experience with Jesus, she took to preaching the gospel, received imprisonment, and was put to death in Rome after converting the daughter of Emperor Nero and 100 of his servants. A lost, shameful, and broken woman, radically and eternally transformed by Jesus for his kingdom purpose. She met Jesus at the well and became an evangelist for God. She said, "He told me that I ever did." Friends, each one of us here has a story to tell. God knows what we ever did. There are about 700 of us here this morning. There are 700 stories of brokenness, shame, and struggles. But each one of you have been touched and redeemed by the grace of God. There are 700 stories of God's love, mercy, and goodness that can touch more lives than this century can hold. Would you take it to the end of the earth as Jesus commanded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. For Tina and the Samaritan believers became witnesses in all Samaria and perhaps Judea and to the end of the earth. This divine commission from Jesus is non-negotiable. It's for all of us. Jesus took a risky detour and met Photina. Jesus took the exchange to the next heavenly level. She believed and received the living water. She put her shameful past behind. She was dramatically transformed. She became the first Christian woman evangelist and in turn saved a town full of Samaritans and many more from eternal condemnation. She took it to the end of the earth. Friends, would you take it to the end of the earth? I would like to invite the worship team to come up, and we're going to have a time of ministry as well. We have more time and space. This is a place for us to hear from God. This morning, I believe God is speaking to each one of us, and he has placed a spiritual burden for those who are in your circle of influence. It could be your relative, your parent, your loved ones, your colleague, or the person you meet every day. It could be the auntie who sells the tissue paper, or the hawker you order your char kway teow. You know, who is that person that you can offer the living water that truly satisfies? What risky detours can we take for God? What friendships and relationships can you bring it to the next heavenly level? Would you tell your story and take it to the end of the earth? So as we sing this song, it's about the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own strength and our own cleverness. There are many tools out there, but without the Spirit, it is just nothing. We are just like a resounding gong, an empty gong. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need God's love to inspire us, to help us. And I pray that the 700 of you here this morning, God is going to surprise each one of you, especially for this year. God is going to do something incredible for your families, for your homes, for your offices, for your schools, for your communities. Each one of you will be like that Samaritan woman with reckless abandon. You will tell people, you'll proclaim that Jesus is the Christ. So shall we sing this song and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us? And I would like to invite anyone, if you need prayer and you have someone you want us to pray along with you, especially your loved ones who has been so far from God or who doesn't know God, may God use you to be that agent of blessing, agent of love to that person. And if you have any other prayer needs, perhaps you have been spiritually dry as well. You've been feeling a bit barren and feeling, I need that renewal, that fresh outpouring from the Holy Spirit. Let's ask God for that living water to just fill us, to flood us again. And we'll be happy to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. The ministry teams are ready, and they love to pray with you. Here in this space, we are among friends. We are among brothers and sisters. We are not here to judge. We are not here to say anything. We are here. It's a safe place where we can come and pray together. So let us sing the song.